You know, it always helps to pair the I-10 concept with some real-life examples, and a Sandler trainer does just that.
For many years, running the 4-minute mile was considered an impossible barrier to break. Yet, in 1954, Roger Bannister broke that barrier and ran the mile in 3 minutes 59.4 seconds. Within 7 weeks, John Landry of Australia hit 3:57.9 and broke Bannister's record. 10 years after Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, a Kansas high school boy beat Bannister's record and ran the mile in 3:59 flat. It's been over half a century since Bannister broke the 4-minute mile, and during that time, hundreds of runners have broken the 4-minute mile barrier. Now that brings up a question. What self-concept do you think Bannister and the other winners who broke the 4-minute mile had? How did they see their eyesight? Lance Armstrong, always a passionate competitor, was winning bicycle races as a teenager. By 1996, he was the number one ranked cyclist in the world and competed in the Summer Olympics. Later that year, while at the top of his game, he got the stunning news that he had advanced testicular cancer and the cancer had spread to his brain and lungs. His odds of survival were far less than 50-50. With surgery, aggressive chemotherapy, and a positive fighting spirit, he fought his way to a remarkable comeback. His health improved, he resumed his racing career, and in 1999 won his first Tour de France. And in 2005, he became the first cyclist to ever win 7 Tours de France. Armstrong could not have achieved this remarkable feat without passion, drive, and a high eye. Outside the sports world, there are numerous examples as well. Helen Keller was a healthy child who, at the age of 19 months, suddenly lost her hearing and vision. As she grew from infancy into childhood, she was wild and unruly and had little real understanding of the world around her. With a great deal of love and support from those around her, against overwhelming odds and with a great deal of persistence, she graduated from Radcliffe and grew into a highly intelligent and sensitive woman who wrote, spoke, and worked incessantly for the betterment of others. Surely an R10 and an I10. Ray Charles was born into a poor family in the segregated South. Completely blind by the age of 7, he overcame these obstacles and through his music achieved fame and had a remarkable music career. You can hear his groundbreaking music through his many recordings on radio stations of all formats and in the movies. A high eye? Of course.
Our successes from people who had high eyes. We've examined the lives of several people and have allowed you to decide what part their eyes played in their R successes. Let me assure you, these individuals were all I-10s. These examples were selected in order to stimulate your thinking about how necessary it is to be an I-10. Why did these individuals win in their chosen fields, while others, who faced similar or even smaller problems, gave up and failed tragically? In what way might their childhoods have affected their success? In what way might a conscious decision on their part have affected their winning in life? There are 3 basic answers to these questions. 1. A person's I is conditioned in childhood by how much pressure is placed on his or her R performances. 2. Though each one of us receives some I devaluation, we can make a conscious decision to be an I-10 and overcome our prior conditioning. And 3. Role success or failure should in no way affect your I worth. Do you need good looks to be an I-10? No. Education? Abraham Lincoln had very little formal education. Mark Twain, Thomas Edison, and Henry Ford also had little formal schooling. Education is important and can be a great help, but it's no guarantee of a healthy self-esteem. If these things alone don't make an I-10, what does? The answer is attitude. How do you rate yourself on your I side? Attitude is the single ingredient that, above all else, determines your rating. An I-10 expects to win on the R side. He wants to win. He strives to win. He works to win. He wins where others finish back in the pack because he has an attitude that says, I will not be denied. He has self-confidence, self-assurance, and a no-limitations belief in himself. He loves winning because he knows the exhilarating feeling of success. Winning leaves a sweet, pleasant taste in his mouth. A winner develops a lifestyle of winning. He wins once and sets out to do it again. He can handle losing, and on the rare occasion that he does lose, he's aware that losing, as well as winning, is an R function. This means that when an I-10 does lose, he's not shattered by the defeat. He's not a bad sport. He's not a complainer. A winner regards failure as a learning experience. There's a great deal of difference between a wisher and a winner. An I-10 has a winning attitude that involves several things. He expects to win based on realistic planning, preparation, and progressive action. He doesn't expect winning to be a walk in the park. A winning attitude also means there is no real satisfaction in winning easy victories. The race most often run by the winner is against the strongest competition he can find. His goal is to attain the highest excellence in his field, not just to be above average. When a winner runs out of challengers, the contest is still not over, because he knows there's always one more standard to exceed, his own best role performance. A winner knows the distinction between being an I-10 and being I-centered. David Sandler explains.
We spend too much time in this I-centered situation. The prospect doesn't care how you feel about yourself, what you're going to get out of this. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you say. He doesn't care what you do. He doesn't care how you dress. You know, if that prospect is in enough pain, all he cares about is himself, because prospects are I-centered. And if you can move away from that, going through this world thinking the whole world's revolving around you and that the whole world is there to take care of you, and if you're not making enough sales, instead of figuring out how to make more sales, you get this feeling of, why me? Why am I in this situation? Why doesn't the prospect understand me? Why don't they pay attention? Why don't they listen? Got it? And you spend all your time doing that, and instead of looking out there and saying, you know, what's really going on?